Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time to talk Sabres hockey on WGR Sports Radio 550. Now, here's Rob Ray with Shope and the Bulldog. Brought to you by Jim Steakout, because hockey fans eat hoagies. By the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women. By the Steve Foley Law Firm, injury justice for injury victims. And by Firth Jewelers, for all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth.
All right, let's get right to it. Rob Ray is on the Western Hotline from Ottawa. Rob, have you been introduced to Nate Geary by chance prior to right now? I don't want to burn too much time on introductions, but Nate's in here for Mike today, and I don't know if you guys know one another or not.
No, I don't know Nate Geary.
He's all right. He gets my stamp of
approval. Did I know Nate Geary?
Well, he's been working on weekends for a while, but no, I guess, you know, no. It's not like a huge...
I might. I'm bad with names. I'm good with faces. I'm bad with names.
Well, you would definitely recognize my face. It's not forgettable.
If you're that ugly, are you?
He's a funny-looking millennial.
It's a face for radio.
That solves it right there.
So, Rob, is as far as you know, is Jason Botterill on this trip?
Yes, sir, he is.
Is there any chance you could hear him yelling or swearing? Did you hear the news just before you joined us here? Montreal's traded Scandella for a second-round pick. It blows my mind that someone would pay that for him. And no offense. Well, I mean, there's no way to not take offense to that, I guess. But whatever. Like, no one complained about the price that was paid or acquired in trading him 6 weeks ago. But holy cow, maybe it's a lesson in holding on to your stuff, even though we're all clamoring for moves because St. Louis needed a guy and they just coughed up a second-round pick for Marco Scandella. That blows my mind.
Well, yeah, but if he had held on to him and not got anything or something like that, it would have blew your mind too, because you would have been whining about that as well. So, you know, maybe you take it when it's there. He really, really improved since he went to Montreal, though. He got better.
It's funny. He'd been good here this year, which is weird, right? I mean,
he did fine. I'm messing with you, but... You know what? He did do a pretty good job while he was there. I mean, it's timing. That's what it is with this stuff. It's timing and who needs what. And you know, it just kind of fell into place for them. So, yeah, can you be upset? Well, yeah, you're probably jealous that, you know, they got the second and we got a fourth. But it all comes down to what's needed at what time and while you're looking to make the deal. So to sit and hold out, that's going to come back to haunt you at the end too. So I think you got to jump on it while the iron was hot, and at that time, that's what the offer was. So now it's changing.
Yeah, I don't want to be like two-faced about this. Like we wanted moves made, so a move was made, and there's, I think, in anything like this, there's always a chance that someone else could do better at a different time with different pressures on you, a different team. The Blues just lost Jay Bouwmeester. They're a cup contender again. So, you know, they're maybe more willing to pay a big price. And Bergevin was operating, that's the Montreal GM, if anyone out there doesn't know, from maybe more of a position of strength. Considering that he had an asset that the Blues were in a position where they needed a guy. So it's a tough look, obviously, is ultimately what it is. It's like a lot of things that have happened with the Sabres. It just, you know, the logistics of it, you can understand why this or that has happened, but in the end, it just doesn't look good when the dust settles. So it's a tough one.
Can I give you a quick update here on the Scandella? The Canadians retained 50% of Scandella's salary in the trade. I don't know if that makes it better for you.
Well,
I think it does
for
me
a little. You're eating money. Like, that lessens the burden on the Blues and would increase what you can extract, right, Rob?
Yeah, so you're getting a second rounder for probably close to $1 million. You know, if you got, you know, 25 games left, that's what you're paying. So it's worth it.
Yep. So how do you find them? I mean, the team has won 3 in a row. If things went right tonight, they could be 6 points behind Toronto for third in the division. You know, it feels a lot. I'm thinking of the conversations we've had at 716 during this long homestand, and it feels a lot like opportunity has passed them by. But at the end of tonight, again, with 2 results, Toronto losing to Pittsburgh and Buffalo winning in Ottawa, you'd be as close as you've been in a long time.
Well, after watching Toronto and having the chance to see them face-to-face here at this point of the year, being 8 points behind them and looking at both team schedules, I feel really good, actually, about our opportunity because Toronto is not in a good position. They're not in a good position as the way they're playing. You know, the personnel they have, yeah, they got a ton of offense, but defensively they're shot. And the way they play structurally, defensively, it's not a way that's going to take them anywhere. So, you know, coming down when it's going to get tough, you see, you know, they're starting to grip their sticks a little tighter. Sabres playing a little more relaxed because realistically, you're playing without his money right now. So, you know, you could go in and play that game. I feel way better about it. Florida's still trying to find themselves. They're even talking about being sellers at the deadline. So, you know, they may be moving some stuff that's going to hurt them here in the next couple weeks too. So that door could easily open if you can just take advantage of these games that you need to win here. And, you know, it starts here tonight. And, you know, you've got some tough games coming up. But you're going to get on the road. You're going to get away from a lot of things here coming up that you can go and just sort of go play your game, man. I don't know. I'm looking at it that everybody wanted to play important games late in the year. You got a month and a half left of the season, and you're playing very important games right now. They don't get any more important than what they are now. So, you know, I think it's all good, and it's up to them. And I think that the opportunity is there, and this is the best opportunity they've had in an awful long time.
The schedule as it lays out here, I'll just run through here the next chunk of games. You've got Ottawa, obviously, tonight. In Pittsburgh Saturday afternoon, home for Winnipeg Sunday afternoon, and then it's a bunch more on the road, and they're tough. It's Colorado, Vegas, Arizona. Those teams are all battling for playoff spots, especially Vegas and Arizona. They're in a dogfight where 2 points separate fifth from first in that division. And then did I say Winnipeg again? And then you're home for Pittsburgh, and then at Philly. Like it's not at all like this 10-game chunk that just ended, where you were, you know, Ottawa and Detroit twice, and that this in Anaheim even. It still feels to me like a great opportunity has been missed, but I'm respecting what you're saying here. And 6 points after tonight, again, you need some cooperation, and you're going to need that all along here. I wonder if how into that the team feels right now, Rob.
I would say that they're feeling pretty darn good about themselves right now. I should have talked to the guys, especially today, that talked to probably 3 different guys, and it came out, and not all at once, so it came out at different times, that in years past, at this point, they were at it. They were already like looking at themselves, and mentally, they were cashed it in. And at this point, right now, they're all still believing that they got a chance every night when they go in. So I think that's a number one hurdle that you get over. And these guys are thinking positive that when they're coming into it, they got a chance every night. So I think that's huge for them. And you know, it's not right now. There's no separation amongst the guys. They're all working to what they got to do. They all believe with what is being put in front of them is going to work, all the things you want to hear. So that's all good. And, you know, you're just looking at it. When you're talking about the schedule coming up, it is some of the teams you're talking about, but some of those teams aren't playing the way that you might think that, you know, Vegas is, you know, literally inconsistent. Their combined record is 16-12-2. Against the teams that you got to play here in the next little while on this road trip, with the exception of the one at home. So it is winnable, and I think these guys know it in their heads and in the room that they've done a good job of keeping everybody together and on the same page, that now when it's going to get really tough here, that maybe you're going to see them pull together here a little bit more than what you have in years past. So I'm kind of sitting there hoping, fingers crossed, that that's the issue and that's the way it's going to be, because I pretty much, you have to just by listening to them because they're selling it that well to you.
Rob Ray's on the Western Hotline with us from Ottawa. The Sabres and Senators are going to be coming up tonight. It's 7:30. Well, it's scheduled for 7:30, but I think they've already informed us it's going to be a little bit later than that. So, Rob, you better be ready to have lots of information on the pregame show, as you're going to have time to fill, I guess, an extra 20 minutes or so, because they're honoring Chris Phillips. Now, you would have been a teammate of his, you know, briefly, but you had two little stints in Ottawa. He played over 1,100 games, all with Ottawa, which is fantastic for a career.
Yep.
So his number's going to the rafters. Do you have any Chris Phillips stories for us?
Well, you know what, Philly, when he was here, he was a big, powerful guy, and he was a very quiet guy, but really well-respected amongst the group in the room. And he, you know, as you said, he spent his whole career here. He was a guy that, you know, did whatever it took. He played through an awful lot. He was a guy at times here where, you know, people were trying to chase him out of town, and the other times they, you know, they wanted to, you know, put his jersey in the rafter while he was still playing. So he's had highs and lows here, but he did an excellent job for this group, and I think he was a big part of, you know, the teams that they had there, you know, in those early 2000s when they're, you know, excelling like that. So, no, just overall, you know, super, super good guy that's deserving. You know, there's a lot of guys in town, you know, Daniel Alperson and Wade Redden, that had some time to sit with them last night and kind of talk about old times a little bit. And you've seen different guys around here that are coming in just in support of Philly. So as a player, as a leader, as a man, he's a very, very well-respected guy, and it's good to see him getting rewarded for it.
I'm just curious. I don't think I've ever thought to ask you this when we've talked about your time in Ottawa. Like, is it when something like this is going down and you see these guys that you were on a team with, but you showed up and were there for a little bit of time, and then again after that for an even briefer amount of time, are you like one of the guys there to some extent because you did play, even though it wasn't a very long time? Like, do you feel some connection to them in a certain way?
Oh, absolutely. You know, when you see guys, it doesn't matter if you play one game or 1,000 games with them, you're part of their team. You know, you work with them. You did all the things that, you know, teammates do. So yeah, you have a huge connection. It doesn't matter how long it really, you know, lasted for. And as I said, you know, a good chance last night, just sitting with Daniel Alperson and Wade Redden, and, you know, these guys just kind of telling those stories and everything that was going on. And you know, so, yeah, you do feel a part of it, and you feel a little, you know, that's why you feel happy for a guy. Maybe in a situation if you didn't play for a guy, he's putting his number up, it's like, yeah, well, whatever, get it over with so we can get the TV game going here. You know, but in this situation, you're happy for him because, you know, you understood, you know him a little closer that, you know, you can, you know, respect the opportunity that he's getting and understand what it was all about and what he did to get there.
Yeah. I hope it doesn't sound like I'm at all surprised by that answer. When I asked the question, I realized I was coming at it maybe sounding like that you're just like an afterthought to these guys. But I was kind of expecting the answer I got, because I think that's the way I think I would guess it would be, that you were there, you worked out, you played, you gave everything you had, and I think hockey players generally respect that, whether it's, you know, 20 games or 200.
No, and that's the way it should be. You're part of a team, and I know there's guys that, you know, running our alumni now, you know, having a match, fight guys back, and the first thing that comes out of their mouth is, well, I didn't play much there. I only played a handful of games. Or I did. I go, it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You played one. You were, you know, part of the organization. You were part of the team. You're one of us. And that's kind of the way it should be looked at, and it is looked at.
So we've got less than a week now to the deadline. It's next Monday. And, you know, we just talked about the standings and the schedule, and the players are kind of into it. But yet Jason Bottrell's got a job to do here. Like, what do you think? Are these games going to severely swing? I mean, could he go from seller to buyer if things go well? Or do you think it's not that simple?
Well, I would expect that he's got a plan either way right now. And that if he was going to, you know, have a deadline here, that he was going to say, okay, if we're in this position by this point, then, you know, we go this direction. If we're not, then we go this direction. And, you know, he's not just going to sit there and wait and then make his mind up when it gets to that point. I would expect he'd have stuff all lined up and ready to go now. that when that time comes to make that decision, whatever direction he was going to go, then he's prepared to make it and make it quick. So, hey, my view that door's still open, and I don't think you can shut that door. I think because just getting there and giving the guys the opportunity to be a part of that, even, you know, at this point and everything you've gone through, it could mean so much moving forward that, you know, if you're knocking on the door, you got to go for it. You got to do what you got to do to give the guys the opportunity. And what that does, too, sometimes, even if you're not successful at it, it sends a message to the guys in the room that, hey, if we get to a point, I'm going to be a guy that's going to give you what you're going to need. And I will, you know, make moves to help you out. So that's a good message that you're sending the guys along the way as well. So, you know, you kind of just turn your back on it, and sometimes it looks like, you quit on us. And, you know, within the room, they may think they can do it. And as you as a general manager, if you don't, then it sends a tough message. So you got to make sure you're both on the same page.
I'll tell you what I'm totally here for is a trade that really wouldn't qualify as a buyer or a seller move. Maybe a little bit like what he did last year prior to the deadline, which was the Brandon Montour trade, which, yes, you gave up futures, but it was for a player that wasn't just to help out for a year. I mean, he's a restricted free agent this year, so you can still control him to some extent financially. And I'm totally here for that. Like, if he can find his way to, like, a defenseman for a forward that's under contract, that isn't just someone to help me out here to try to make the playoffs, but someone that could be a part of the picture for a good 2, 3, 4 years moving down the road. I mean, I'm totally here for that.
Yeah, a hockey deal. You know, a good hockey trade that, you know, it's going to help both sides. And, yeah, you don't have to give everything away just to, you know, try to get yourself in a position or give it all away to, you know, not have to worry about it down the road. In some cases, it's just as easy to leave it on your roster and let it go at the end of the year than it is to, you know, go through everything you got to do to get what, a late round draft pick. What good is it sometimes? So you might better just leave it together and roll the dice and away you go.
Hey, Rob, I got a question for you, and it revolves around Jeff Skinner. 21 games, I think, we're up to now without him scoring a goal. I think this last goal came in the first week of December. Do you get the sense that it's kind of weighing on him at this point? Because he's a player that this team really needs to start scoring goals, especially this time of year with the playoffs on the line. Do you expect that it's, or suspect that it's some pressure that's weighing? I mean, it's not like he's playing bad. He's just not finishing.
Well, he was 2 inches taller at the beginning of the year. That's how much it's weighing on him. And he's a guy who's a competitor. He wants to score. He wants to win. And it's going to weigh on him. And for him, it's not so much, you know, people talking, oh, you should pay this, you should be scoring. It's him personally as this pride that it's killing him probably more than anything that he's not scoring. Because that's what those kind of guys, that's what they thrive on. They live and die by being talked about as one of the premier goal scorers, or, you know, you're the high roller guy, the, you know, go-to guy, and all. They thrive, they live and die on that stuff, and I think more than anything, that part of it's probably killing them, you know, more than maybe the pressure that media or fans or something putting on him because he has produced, because, hey, in his eyes, too, he's got to make sure he's doing all the right things. And, you know, a lot of times, if you watch real close, he's a little cheating here and there and not giving yourself a chance, and then when you do get that chance, you got to, you know, think in your mind that you're putting it through the net, not just in the net. You got to put it through the net. And so you just lay off a little bit and it ends up hurting you.
How about Curtis Lazar centering? Yeah. It's Johansson and was it Sherry, I think? Or was that VC on that line?
I think it was VC, yeah.
Okay. No, VC's been with... Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Since Olsson came back. Like, that looks, first of all, it's Johansson on the wing, which was to me always a better idea than him being asked to play center. But Lazar, boy, I mean, that's a player that I think, whether you have him in a prominent role like he is right now, that's a guy that I think can play on my team just about any time.
Yeah, he's going to give you depth because he can play anywhere. And I think moving forward, you'd have to think that he would be in the plans. But also, he's a guy, too, right now that he is playing the way he is, that there could be some people knocking on your door looking for Curtis Lazar down the stretch here, too. So that could turn into that opportunity as well. But if that's not there, I think that, yeah, definitely. He's a guy that understood he let something slip away, and he doesn't want to let it happen again, so he's going to do what he has to do to to make sure he maintains this opportunity he's getting. And that's what you want. You want a guy that's going to go over the top and do all the stuff he has to survive. It's not just go play. He's survive. He's in survival mode now. He's beyond the establishing himself and becoming a player. He's been there. He lost it. He's back. And now he doesn't want to let it go again. And that's the kind of player he wants. So I think moving forward, he's earned the opportunity to play and be around him, next year, whatever capacity, third line, fourth line, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And he does a great job with it.
How much have you had a chance to get to know him much at all?
Super nice guy. Super nice. And you know what? This is where he had his opportunity, is Ottawa. And anybody here you talk to about Curtis Lazar is how nice a guy he was. And sometimes they look at it, maybe he was too nice a guy at the time, that he let a few things, maybe take advantage of him and he wasn't aggressive enough. And I think he's mature enough to realize that he's got to be a little more aggressive in certain situations. But you never hear a bad thing said about that. He's a supportive guy. They all love being around him, playing with him. So, yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, I find myself, as I get older, having a real soft spot for the guy who was – kind of a hot shot, high pick, World Juniors guy, like really highly touted guy, and it just does not come together, but yet he still has found his way back into the league. It took a little while this year. I always am going to pull for a guy like that, I think.
Yeah, because you know what? You get in bad situations, and that's the kind of guy that, has figured out how to get through it and how to be successful from it. There's other guys that have never been there before. And then when they get into that, it's like, oh, my God, what do I do? They can't handle it. This guy has figured it out. He's handled it. And, he's still at a young enough age where he could be a productive player for you for a while. That, it was one that they won here in training camp. He did a great job. And then as us watching the games every night in preseason, I was like, man, this should have spotted the team. There's no opportunity for it. But he made the most of it when he got the chance. So, yeah, you want those guys that are going to kind of go over the top, but also know what it's going to take to be successful in that way. So, I don't think sometimes you understand that unless you've had to battle all the way up through. Most of these guys here have been given everything from day one. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But at some point, you need guys on your team, too, that have had to take the hard road, and everything wasn't handed to them, mm-hmm. and they've had to fight and grasp and claw for what they got. Because they're the guys that are going to make the difference when you really need it.
All right, Rob, enjoyed this as always. Have yourself a wonderful broadcast, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Gentlemen, take care.
All right. As Rob Ray, his appearance here on WGR brought to you by Jim's Steakout, because hockey fans eat hoagies, by the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women, by Firth Jewelers, for all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth, and by the Steve Foley Law Firm, Injury Justice for Injury Victims. We'll pick up a little bit on some of what Rob had to say.
Another trade happened as well.
Oh, another trade.
And a defenseman.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we'll have to fill you in on that, too, as we keep moving. And we've only had a chance to talk with Rob about this Scandella thing. So we
should talk more about Skinner, too.
Okay. Well, we'll do all of that as we continue. Nate Geary is in for Mike Schoep today on the Bulldog. So stay tuned for that. Right now, I'm here to talk to you about Capital Heat. Capital Heat's always been at the forefront of technology, and they've done it yet again. Capital Heat has a geothermal heat pump, which is made specifically for all of our seasons here in Western New York. Keep you warm in the winters and cool in the summer. It's more efficient than any traditional gas heating and AC system. It uses no fossil fuels, so you're helping the environment. And you don't have to worry anymore about the dangers of carbon monoxide or clearing your pipes in the backyard when the snow gets too high. Plus, heat pumps are built to last longer than traditional heating and cooling systems. So if you're converting from a boiler or replacing a traditional furnace and AC system, check this system out first. In fact, I'd encourage you to go to capitalheat.com/heatpumps and put your numbers into their savings calculator, and you can see how much you could potentially save with one of these systems. One other note here, if you're a homeowner that already has your house equipped with solar panels, you should know that a geothermal heat pump system works perfectly to heat and cool your home using the electricity you're already generating with those solar panels. So for honest, non-commissioned heating and cooling contractors to help guide you with the best solutions for you, trust Capital Heat.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It was frustrating, but we had a lot of defensemen. They were trying to figure out pairings and roles and all that, but just not really anything you can control there. Just keep coming to the rink and working hard and doing what you can.
That is Colin Miller.
I think I'm a good luck charm for you.
I needed to think about what was said more than recognizing his voice. And he's talking about not getting too worn down when he wasn't playing. So I'm thinking, okay, well, Bogosian, that's not Bogosian. I'm pretty sure that he wouldn't be potentially a locker room interview for today's pregame show because he's been waived and suspended by the team now for refusing to report to Rochester. So who else has been scratched recently? Lawrence Pilot. Okay, well, that guy did not sound Swedish, so I got to Colin Miller. So a little bit of a cheat code, I guess I'd say. But nonetheless, yeah, right is right.
I think Lawrence Pilot's a bit of a tricky one, though. I don't think there's much of an accent.
He's not that.
There.
Yeah, that's. Yeah. I agree. As soon as I said that, I kind of wanted it back. So thanks for calling me on that. Nate Geary is in for Mike Schoeppe today. I'm the Bulldog. That's Sneaky Joe DiBiase, our producer. As we went to the break, we said Rob Ray on talking about tonight's game and this stretch they've got coming up here, and the form they're in. And we got to Jeff Skinner pretty late with Rob. It's a subject we have frequently talked about with Rob through the season because obviously it's really notable that Jeff Skinner is stuck on the low goal total that he is stuck on. I almost can't believe I want to look to make sure, but it's 11.
It is.
Which is incredible 11. That it's been 11 since December, yeah. Early December, right? So where you wanted to expand on that, so I'm giving you the floor.
You're giving me the floor.
Yeah. Go give me your Skinner take.
So, I don't know. I guess what I was hoping at some point here within this 21 games, and hopefully it's not something that we have to talk about for a couple more weeks because that would be not great. but I think for me, as I'd like a little bit more awareness on behalf of Ralph Krueger, and what I mean by that is. For the most part, I see a player who, to be quite honest with you, early in the season looked like he had bought into being a more responsible defensive player, like a guy that was trying mm-hmm. to play defense, which hasn't always been his shtick over the course of his career. So, like, I kind of looked at that and said, okay, that's a check mark for Ralph Krueger. Like, if you can get him playing responsible defensive yeah. hockey on top of being a 30-ish goal scorer, sign me up. Like that's something I'm good with you signing long term mm-hmm, mm-hmm. if he's going to. And then you know I think there's this level of it seems like at times that he's been in kind of a doghouse. You know, I know there's been plenty of conversation on this station and on Twitter about his absence during overtimes.
Power play.
Like, that seems like a great time to maybe get him going is on the power play, where him and Jack last year, I mean, you know, I know with Victor Olofsson, it's hard because you want Victor Olofsson on that top line.
I'd say it was really most glaring. The power play point was most glaring while Olofsson was out.
Yes.
Recognizing that Skinner is not the one-time shooter that, I mean, nobody is really. Olofsson is in an elite class within the league in that department. Just the shot is world class. But Johansson was kind of sloppy over there in that spot.
He was.
And I would have thought Skinner, you might have had to kind of reconfigure a little bit because, again, I don't want him teeing up one-timers from that face-off dot like Johansson and or Olofsson have been doing. But they probably could have and should have done something when he came back before Olofsson came back.
I think, too, and the only reason that Skinner popped into my head was watching the game Sunday. It was Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Watching the game Sunday, there was a particular play. It was a power play for the Sabres, and it was the first face of the power play deep in Toronto zone, and Jack did that patented little face-off move where he almost lifts the stick to the defender and passes it over to Olofsson, and Olofsson missed the net. And immediately, I'm flashing back to that play worked like five times last year, and like it got to a point where like teams were preparing for that play, so it was making them, it was putting themselves in a better position for the power play because that was a play that while they were lining up for, other teams were like, okay, well, we cannot let this play beat us because we've seen it beat so many teams. And when they didn't complete the play, I just thought to myself, man, maybe you're giving it away if he just goes out there for a faceoff and then comes off the ice. But, like, doesn't that seem like a great situation just to set your play? Like, if I'm Rolf Cougar right now, I guess for me, what I'm trying to do is set Jeff Skinner up in a position to get this monkey off his back. And even if that means having him on the first line until he scores and then taking him off,
fine.
But it is your duty as a coach to do what you can do and within your power to make sure the player that's fighting it right now
gets an opportunity to
get himself over that hump.
Yeah. That putting him on the first line until he gets going is exactly where I was at coming out of the All-Star break and the bye week, right? It's three weeks ago today, I think, right? That's exactly what I was thinking. Most of the year, all year, you know, get Skinner with Jack. You paid him $9 million, get Skinner with Jack. It's been a thing with the fan base during games, after games, on the shows, whatever. It's out there, and I mostly just go, hey, you know what? I'm okay. He's generating opportunities. It'll come. And I need another line to be going. And I thought it was important to start a season in Olofsson's rookie season for him to be supported by Eichel and make sure I establish him as someone that I can count on as a scorer and get his feet under him in the NHL. So that made sense to me to not have Skinner there. And then, you know, again, as it's going by, October, November, December, he's not scoring like he was, but it's okay. You know, like, to me, I'm still getting good chances there. You know, he's a dangerous 5-on-5 player, and the goals will come eventually. Where I lost that willingness to sort of stand up for that and, you know, spread your scoring throughout the lineup was when it got to opening up that 9 out of 10 at home with the soft opponents there. And it's just to me, and Skinner's coming back, right? He's re-entering, and I still don't have Olofsson, so I'm searching for something there. And to me, yeah, is that a long-range solution? No, ideally, I want Jeff Skinner somewhere else helping to carry another line that complements what Jack's line is doing. And so, like, in theory, that's where I want to be in the big picture. In a very micro sense, that stretch of games that were so important to this season, absolutely put them up there, and maybe they get hot, and maybe you can win a couple of games here.
With one line scoring.
Right.
They had zero line scoring.
Exactly. So let's get that going, And then Olofsson comes back, and I'm fine. Moving Skinner back out of that spot, reestablishing Olofsson, and hopefully, you know, this is my scenario, is that they get hot, and you win some games, and you climb in the standings, and we've got a very different conversation going. And they chose to not do that. And look, I don't know that it cost them. All I know is that they lost. I won't go that far. Right.
I won't.
Yeah, I know. But I know they lost to Ottawa and they lost to Montreal, and Jeff Skinner has not scored in 2 months.
I think
that's still where we are, and that's not a good place.
I think, too, going back to the awareness, the team awareness part of this, is I think it's, for me, you have two players, which in itself is a problem. You have two forwards on the team right now that can possess the puck, bring it in, set up play. It's Jack Eichel. You won't put him with him. The other guy is Marcus Johansson, who can do that. The numbers suggest he can do that. Now that he's on wing, and you've quote-unquote, air quotes, found a number two center in Curtis Lazar, the one other player that Jeff Skinner looked competent with was Marcus Johansson. And now you've taken him away from Marcus Johansson, too, and you won't put him back with Johansson. So now you've got VC in that position, and you've got, and I actually, the last 8 games,
VC's looked pretty good.
So has Evan Rodriguez.
Yeah, right.
Like, Evan Rodriguez has looked much, Evan Rodriguez has looked like the player that everyone was mad that wasn't in the lineup early in the season. And then, for whatever reason, but the Rodriguez point, I guess, is moot for me. But what I look at is, I think you have a very clear and obvious top six. And it's being spread out to try to be a top nine. And they don't have nine. Like, they have five. But, like, Curtis Lazar's playing at a level that you could, for me anyways, say if your second line was Skinner, Lazar, and Johansson, you have guys that are slotted in the right position. That's one thing I can say about that line.
Yeah.
The other thing is, I think you're putting Jeff Skinner with someone who can drive offense, and that is who he needs to be playing with. He's not a guy that on 5-on-5 is scoring on these unbelievable one do-it-himself all plays. 30 of his 40 goals last year came on just beautiful setups from Jack Eichel or Rasmus Dahlin. And now you're just, he's in a position where he's not scoring, and he also just is not playing with anyone who's capable of setting him up. And that's just, when you're talking about recipes for players like Jeff Skinner to have success, you're basically doing the exact opposite of what it would take to get him going. And you're asking him to revive a part of his game that he's down on himself about by himself. And the coach is basically saying, good luck. Like, I'm not going to help you here. Yeah, and that's just short-sighted to me.
I'd love to know, like, all the reasoning.
Me too.
Because I'm sure there's probably pages of it. But
it seems like there is a doghouse of sorts happening.
Yeah.
Without knowing for sure.
At times it feels that way. The overtime thing especially.
Yes.
To me is, I mean, that
you
is.
You can't tell me he's not one of your top four offensive players.
I mean, he's a great skater, and I just don't. Yeah, I don't get it. I want to squeeze this in. It's hockey trade tweet season, so I'll get you this from Bob McKenzie of TSN, and this is a little air out of the balloon if you're thinking about Buffalo and a defenseman for a forward trade with Vegas. Potentially. Bob McKenzie just tweeted here, it's not done yet, but Vegas and LA are working to try to finalize a deal that would send defenseman Alec Martinez to the Golden Knights. Most telling sign will be if Martinez is in or out of the Kings lineup tonight versus Winnipeg.
Yeah, I mean, he's better than what we're going to be able to get him. So
McKenzie also just followed that up and saying if the deal does get done, the likely return will be 2 second-round picks for Martinez. So defensemen here, even like the rentals, they're getting second, third round picks.
What is Martinez's cap hit? And is he expiring?
He's expiring.
He's long been rumored to be a guy that would get moved at some
was under the impression part of why the talks, the theoretical talks, whether or not they are real or not between the Sabres and Vegas, was that there almost needed to be a player for player trade to move out salary to bring in salary for Vegas.
My bad. One more year after this year for Martinez, million bucks.
So
per year.
They have $4 million in space to do that?
I think I've got their cap page open here. Let me see what Cap Friendly's got for you.
Have $3.4 million in
space. I don't think they can.
But that's also. No, I guess they don't really have any guys on injured reserve. So yeah, they have they would have to make something
to make
going
some
back.
Something, they would
some
have
room.
To figure
yeah.
something out. Yeah.
Anyway, that's been we talked, I think, a little bit about that yesterday with them and Marchessault and Tuck.
Yep.
It could be LA is going to beat you to the punch there and trade a established defenseman. And if they don't have to give up either one of those guys, that's an even bigger win for Vegas. They can make the money work. Anyway, so there's that. All right, we'll take a time out here. Nate Geary's in for Mike Shope. I am the Bulldog, and this is WGR. All right, we got another pair of tickets for you to go check out Seneca Fight Night. This is Friday, May 22nd, the Seneca Niagara Casino. Minimum value of this prize is $70. General contest rules apply. 644-9878, caller 5, is going to take that pair of tickets. So good luck on that. To further shed some light on the conversation we were having just before we took the time out there, Bob McKenzie following up the tweets regarding a potential Kings Golden Knights trade of defenseman Alec Martinez to Vegas. He says it's not done yet, but Vegas and LA are working to try to finalize a deal that would send Alec Martinez to the Golden Knights. Most telling sign will be if Martinez is in or out. Wait, that was the tweet I read you earlier. I had the new one, and
Bob McKenzie says he's out.
I misidentified it. He's out of the lineup,
yeah.
But the deal's not done. The sense is that when they get home after this road game tonight, that they'll get it finalized. That's basically here it is. Best sense is that the two teams have likely agreed to terms, but no deal will be done until LA is back home tomorrow. Okay, so there's that. So if you're scoring at home, we've got that potential deal to Winnipeg for a defenseman, and to Vegas. Excuse me. We were talking about Vegas yesterday. The Sabres making a trade of a defenseman for a forward with Vegas. So Vegas finds a defenseman potentially if that gets done, and sure sounds like Bob McKenzie thinks it's going to get done. Winnipeg traded for a depth defenseman, but still a defenseman today from Ottawa, DeMeo. And just as we were getting ready to talk to Rob Ray about an hour ago, we found out that Montreal had spun Marco Scandella to the Blues for a second-round pick, a player that the Sabres had traded 6 weeks ago for a fourth-round pick. So another defenseman, needy team, pays a pretty steep price and gets a defenseman. And I'm still sitting here since last July, or whenever the Joki Haru trade was made, that's when they reached their peak number of NHL-capable defensemen on the roster. And I've still got most of them. I of course, traded Scandella. Mm-hmm. Bogosian has been sent away, which I'm fine with. But I still haven't made that trade for that forward. And teams that need – not that teams are paying – the top six forward price for these guys they're acquiring. It sounds like, from what Joe told us, that Vegas, if they complete this transaction with the Kings for Martinez, it's a couple of second-round draft picks. So there's not been a premium as far as NHL-ready players to stop, step into your top six, but I'm afraid that the music's going to stop and we're not going to have a chair for any of our extra defensemen here as we're going.
Or your I think everyone, I don't think you're going to play yourself out of getting rid of your expiring contracts.
No,
but
whatever. But
boy, I think what the problem becomes is the way to better your team might have just happened right now, according to Bob McKenzie. And I think a lot of that has to do, and we could talk about this on the other side, I think a lot of it has to do with other GMs just saying, listen, Jason, we got a role. If you guys don't know where you are, we gotta add somebody here, And I think that's what it seems like.
There's a piece that doesn't fit with that to me that maybe I'll mention here on the other side. We'll take a timeout. Nate Geary's in for Mike Shope. I'm the Bulldog, and this is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.